What I would share with you this day, I declare in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come to me, said Jesus, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. These are well-loved words, friends, perhaps the best known of the promises of Jesus. I want to look at them with you today in two parts. Now, the first part is the words, come to me, all you that are weary and are heavy, carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. What don't we here today know about burdens? Who here hasn't had to carry some mighty heavy loads in the living of your days? Come to me, Jesus says in reply, and I will give you rest. There was news this week of Volvo's commitment to phase out internal combustion engines in their vehicles over the next few years in favor of electric motors. The news prompted discussions about the need to ramp up construction of a whole network of supercharger stations that'll facilitate rapid recharging of automobile batteries in order to extend the range of travel for these electric-powered vehicles. One pundit commented how in the early days of automobiles, it was common for gas stations and restaurants to be built at the top of very long hills. And he went on to explain the reason why. The reason prompted me to recall how many years ago, on my very first visit to Vancouver Island, I drove with friends along what was known as the Old Island Highway between Victoria and Nanaimo. Many of you no doubt have traveled it at one time or another. There's a gas station and a restaurant called the Malahat Chalet, still there, located at the top of the longest grade on the road between Victoria and Nanaimo. Now, the paper placemats they used in the restaurant at that time told a little bit about the history of the restaurant. And according to that historical piece, it had been built there not just for the view, which was breathtaking, but like lots of similar places throughout mountainous regions all over North America, the location was chosen as a convenience. It was a convenience for people who needed to stop and let their overheated car radiators cool down. So while they waited for their engines to cool, they would often take a break for themselves, have a rest, take some refreshment before continuing the journey. Now, I mention that little tidbit because this morning it seems to me that that's one of the functions of worship for many of us, a time out for rest and refreshment before resuming the journey of our lives and our Christian walk. And that, too, is one of the functions of prayer and of Christian fellowship. Whether alone in some quiet spot where we come before God in personal devotion, or where we gather in our homes, or the homes of friends and neighbors, or here at church to share in a time of rest and refreshment, the kind of refreshment and rest that we all need so much. You see, there's nothing quite like coming to God and setting aside our burdens for a while, having our batteries recharged, our radiators cooled down, so to speak, having our spirits lifted. All of us here, from the youngest to the oldest, know about burdens. Whether physical, emotional, or spiritual, the burdens we all carry with us as we live out our days. But I pray you all know as well, along with knowing about those burdens, I pray that you also know as well about the rest that's ours when we come before God and refocus on what's truly important in life, That is, when we take the time to reconnect with the one who is our Creator and our divine caregiver. When Jesus spoke of burdens and of our coming to him with those, he was most certainly talking about those very kinds of burdens, the burdens of care and of anxiety and of labor with which we are all familiar. But Jesus was also talking about the burdens of religion, the ones that some people carry, burdens that are laid on our backs, sometimes by ourselves, sometimes by others who were like the scribes and Pharisees of his day, those that insist that proper religion involves shouldering the burdens of endless rules and regulations about what we can and cannot do, whether we're talking about work or life, at home or at church. Now, you know from your reading of the Gospels how Jesus broke radically with the religious patterns that had been established by the God-fearing religious authorities of his day. He ate and drank while others fasted. He plucked grain and fed his disciples, and even healed the sick and the lame on the Sabbath, while others looked on in stern disapproval. He rejoiced in God, while others prayed solemnly with long faces. He called God Father, while others dared not even speak the name of the divine. Jesus came to lift the heavy burdens of life and of religion from all of us. He reminds us that the Sabbath was made for us, not we for the Sabbath. He urges us to know that faith is a thing that's meant to set us free, to set us free to worship God honestly and sincerely, and to serve God with real joy and love in our hearts, not just on the Sabbath, but on each and every day in between. And Jesus promises rest from the burdens that we carry, rest from the burdens of legalism and judgment, relief from the weight of anxiety and worry, release from the yoke of unending, unrewarding labor. All exercised in pursuit of those things which do not satisfy. Come unto me, said Jesus, all you who are tired, all you who are feeling drained, all you who are feeling empty, all you who are weighed down by disappointment, all you who are weary of the struggles of life, weighed down by your sense of duty and of what is right and wrong, come unto me, he says, and I will give you rest. In other words, the promise of Jesus is this: I will lift your burden from you. I will cleanse you. I will fill you with real joy. And I will establish you in a relationship with God that will give you new life here and in the world to come. Now, that's the first part of what Jesus had to say, of what Jesus promised in the gospel lesson we read. And the second part is this: take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, that sounds like a contradiction. Jesus promising rest from our burdens in one breath, and turning around and speaking about us taking up another burden, another yoke in the next. What we need, we think, is a break, a real break, a rest, not simply a replacement of one kind of labor for another. At least that's what worldly logic would dictate. After all, a burden is still a burden. A yoke is still a yoke. A demand and a duty remains the same. What Jesus was driving at, however, friends, is that there is no such thing as a burden-free life. Life will always have burdens, but it seems that there may be options, some choices, some alternatives when it comes to the question of what kind of burden we'll carry. As a minister, I've spent a fair number of years, a fair bit of time rather, over the years, talking with people about the burdens that they carry, offering comfort to people struggling with their particular burdens in life, trying to provide for their families, trying to raise their children and guide them so they'll grow up healthy and able to walk in a good way, trying to throw off the enslavement of addictions, trying to make hard choices about life's priorities and life's directions. I've dealt with those whose lives were overwhelmed with constant activity and conflict, provided counsel to those who were weighed down by the burden of dealing with their personal activities, but also the activities and hassles they have with others, spouses, children, parents and extended families, bosses and co-workers, sometimes even the people they know from church. And one thing I have learned is this, that life's greatest burden is not always, and indeed not often, having too much to do and too much to care about. Some of the happiest folks I know are the busiest and the most caring. Rather, the greatest burden we most often have is our constant engagement with the trivial and the unimportant, with the temporary and the passing, with the ultimately uncontrollable and unpredictable. You see, the issue in life is not if we shall be burdened, but rather with what shall we be burdened. It's not if we shall be yoked, but to what and with whom we'll be yoked. Jesus had no interest in freeing us to live a life with no challenge, no purpose. Rather, Jesus is interested in lifting the burdens off our back that drain us of life, the ones that suck the life out of us, so that he can place another on us, one better suited to us, one that's worth carrying, one that merits our time and energy. He's interested in removing the harnesses that we often make for ourselves or that the world makes for us, with its constant demands and pressures, so that he can place around our necks his own yoke, his own harness. The yoke, the harness, the burden that brings us new life, new energy, and new joy. To us, and then to others through us. The promise and the reality is that the burden that Christ has for us, the yoke he offers to us, when we come to him and learn from him, is an easy burden, one suited to us, one tailored for us. The promise and the reality is that in wearing his yoke and learning from him, we will find rest. A number of years ago, shortly after we moved to Saskatchewan, our family paid a visit to the Western Development Museum right here in Saskatoon. And among the displays showing what life was like for the early European settlers who first came here were some of the tools and utensils commonly found in life and commonly used, rather, in life on the farm and around the homes of that day. One interesting item I remembered seeing was a yoke, not one worn by a pair of oxen, but a yoke designed for one person to use. It was carved and shaped in such a way that it fit across the shoulders and around the back of the neck. The tour guide let us visitors try it on for size, and it was interesting to see how it might fit one person really well, while the next person would find it really uncomfortable. Those kinds of yokes apparently were designed for carrying buckets of water. When I tried it on, it seemed actually pretty comfortable. I felt that I could have carried two buckets of water with it very easily for a long distance without a problem. Matthew's gospel tells us that the yoke that Jesus wants to put on us is an easy one, meaning one designed for us individually and personally, so that it doesn't drag us down or chafe or bind, or weary us in the effort of carrying a load to the point of exhaustion. Instead, it's one well fitted for us. Now, Jesus' promise is not that we shall find an escape from our burdens and our labors and our efforts and challenges, not that we'll be able to get away from it all, but rather that he will refresh our souls when we come into his presence. He'll give us renewed strength for the journey so that when we venture forth with him into the world again, he will replace the burdens that destroy and exhaust us with a burden and a yoke that will be life-giving, life-affirming, rather than life-destroying and life-draining. His promise is that when we come to him, when we learn from him, when we offer ourselves to him, he will minister to us and then through us, and that he'll give strength and hope and joy and peace and patience and love and new life here and now and in the world to come. Come to me, said Jesus, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. The hymn is